It's Saturday morning and time for the Coaches Show. An in-depth look at high school sports with the coaches and players behind the headlines on News Radio KWOS 950 and 104.5. Here's Missouri Hall of Fame sportscaster Kevin Kelly.
Good morning and welcome to the Coaches Show. Here are your final scores in Week 2 of the high school football season involving the Helias Crusaders, the Blair Oaks Falcons, the Capital City Cavaliers, and the Jefferson City Jays. First of all, in Columbia last night, the Helias Crusaders beat Columbia Hickman 68-18. Also in Columbia last night, Columbia battled over Capital City. The final score was 52-12. At Atkins Stadium last night, the Hannibal Pirates beat the Jefferson City Jays 32-21. And at the Falcon Athletic Complex last night, it was the Blair Oaks Falcons beating the Domnoster Panthers by a score of 49-0. Joining us now is Helias Crusaders head football coach Chris Hinches. Before we talk about last night's victory, first of all, congratulations on the win last night.
Thank you, Kevin.
And before we talk about the game, break it down a little bit. I want to talk for just a moment. I think you have a football game in the program today, and we talked last week about the fact that, in week four you lost Granite City, but St. Francis Borgia has gone into the number four slot now in week four. You lost the Hannibal game in week one. We're able to get Lutheran St. Charles. There's a question as to whether or not the Vianney game will still be scheduled in week nine. But the varsity situation is not unique over there at Helias. You've had a situation with scheduling all up and down the program, haven't you?
Yeah, we have, and I think it will continue to be an issue throughout the year, just losing JV games or losing freshman games, you know, on Monday. And, we'd already lost three junior varsity games. So when Tipton called and entertained the possibility of our JV coming down and playing their varsity today, we jumped at that opportunity because, you know, particularly our juniors, only have about three or four games that are on the schedule this year. So this is the game that they desperately needed to play. They've been practicing a long time. So we're looking forward to going over there this afternoon and getting a game with our predominantly, junior kids who don't get to play much on Friday night.
And Chris, this is probably going to be a situation that's going to continue each week. You're just going to have to be flexible, right?
Yeah. I think across the board, every team in the state is dealing with the same thing. And, there's no guarantees, and you take it a week at a time, and hopefully the COVID numbers and all the things that go into factor whether or not you can play the game are in your favor, and you can he can suit up on Friday night and play.
And one other thing real quick before we talk about last night's game, they will put the district setups together and released, I believe, on September the 18th. So right now, you don't know what district you're in, or you don't know what classification you're in, do you?
No, I don't. Before all this hit, we thought we were going to be in Class 4. I don't know if this changes anything and how they're going to classify. Are they going to take out the 40-some teams who decided to play football in the spring? And are they going with five classes, six? How are they going to break all this stuff down? I'm not 100% sure. We'll just have to find out with everybody else, on the 18th.
Yeah, we'll know in a couple of weeks, won't we?
Yes.
All right, last night in Columbia, you beat the Hickman Cupies by a score of 68-18. It was the first conference game in the Central Missouri Activities Conference for both Columbia Hickman and Helias, and it's been a while since you've been in conference.
It has been a while. We played Hickman for many, many years now, but it has been a while since we've been in a conference game, and that's going to be a special thing for us this year. But I was just pleased the way we played last night. I thought we executed very well in all three phases, and came out with a big win.
Let's step inside some of the numbers. First of all, a huge first quarter for you, and the defense got you started, didn't they?
Yeah, we had a nice turnover. We won the toss, deferred. We had a nice turnover in the first series, and we were able to convert that into points. And, we took advantage of opportunities that Hickman was giving us, short fields and turnovers. And I thought our offense played very well. Jake Weaver had a very good night. The offensive line blocked well, and we got up on them 27-0. And, they made a little rally, in the second quarter, but we were able to come out in the second half and really execute well and pull away from them.
I think 4.5 minutes into the ball game, you're already up 13-0. And I think you recovered an onside kick then after that, didn't you?
Yeah, we did. Yeah, their kickoff return alignment did have that onside kick opportunity, and we were trying to squib kick most of them anyway, just kind of scoot them along the ground and get them there, and so we weren't kicking it that deep to begin with, so we thought, man, it's there, let's go ahead and try it. We practiced it all the time, and Isaac executed a good onside kick. We were able to recover it and turn that into points as well.
You mentioned it just a few moments ago, but Jacob Weaver, your quarterback, had a huge night for you last night, didn't he?
He did. He played really good last night and threw the ball well and ran the ball well. Some of the things they were taking away in our perimeter pass game opened up, the run game inside, particularly when we emptied things out and, we were able to get a 5-man box and, Jacob is such a talented runner too. We don't run him as much maybe as we had the first 2 years, but when those opportunities are there, I think we have to put the ball in his hands, and he showed us the playmaker that he is.
And sometimes we forget about the fact that he injured his shoulder toward the end of last year.
Yeah, and that's what I'm talking about, just getting full recovery on that shoulder, and he's such a valuable piece to our football team, and we want to make sure that when we do run the ball, it's going to be an effective run for him. And he sure did a great job last night.
Chris, I'm thinking statistic wise. Sounds last night. Didn't he run for 3 and pass for 4?
Yeah. So he had a big night. We were able to rush for about 180 yards and throw for about 300. So I think we're about 485 yards. With 68 points. And I was really pleased too. With Zachary Wolken came in and in the third quarter and he was able to execute our offense as well. He got a couple touchdown passes, and it was a good night.
You didn't punt in the ball game, and as you mentioned, close to 500 yards of total offense. And we talked last week. You won the ball game over Lutheran St. Charles by 11, 31-20. You felt like maybe you left some points on the table. It didn't look like you did last night. Got most out of the offense, didn't you?
Yeah, in week one, I thought we left at least 21 points, maybe more, on the table because we didn't execute things very well. But last night, anytime you go through a game and you don't punt and you're able to score 68 points, your offense has done well, and defense got us the ball back, and special teams did their part. Just overall, I told the boys I was really proud of their efforts last night, and it's a short turnaround for some of those kids because, some of those juniors and a few of those sophomores, they play special teams. And so that kind of counts as a quarter. And then they're all, getting geared up and ready to play a game today. As a player, you're allowed 6 quarters in any given week. And so we're going to have some of our kids that are going to max out on their quarters with the quarters they played last night and then what they're going to get done today. And we're just looking forward to playing football. I mean, that's what football players want to do. They want to play football. And it's been a long summer of practice and a lot of anticipation for the season to start. And, the kids are just having a lot of fun just playing the game of football.
Hey, you mentioned it earlier, but Zach Wolken, second-string quarterback, had a couple of touchdown passes in the second half. Boy, it's nice to have a backup quarterback like that, isn't it?
Yeah, and Zach did a great job for us last year. Filling in with Jake's injury, and it was just nice to get him on the field last night with the number one offensive line for a bit, and to see him throw the ball with accuracy and run our offense, and he is certainly capable of running our offense and winning football games.
You and I talked earlier in the week. This Columbia-Hickman football team had, I think, 21-22 seniors on the football team. Is an offense that had speed, have athleticism. And let's talk a little bit. We've spent so much time talking about the offense and what they did. Your defense played very well last night. Hickman basically couldn't run the football.
They couldn't. This 2 weeks in a row, that we did a great job of bottling up the opposing team's explosive run game. I think we held Hickman to, I think, 2 yards rushing last night. And the week before, we held Lutheran to 20 yards rushing. So that's a pretty good 2-game total, 22 yards of rushing. I mean, they were able to complete a long pass and do some things in the air. I think they had 160-something yards passing against us last night. But our rush defense is doing a great job, Coach Pitts and his staff. And, credit to the boys on the way they're playing. We're playing really good up front. Our front seven, our run defense is really, really getting off to a good start. And you know, it's the games are just going to get bigger and tougher here in the weeks ahead, and we're going to have to continue to play at that high level if we want to, you know, continue to win.
If the schedule stays the way it is right now, that was your only road trip in the regular season.
Yeah, road trip out of Jeff City, technically. You know, for the next 3 weeks, we're going to be at home. We'll have a battle at home and St. Francis Borgia at home and Rock Ridge at home for homecoming. And then we have two trips just down the street to Atkins Stadium against Cap City and Jeff City. And then we're home against Sedalia in week 8.
Mm-hmm.
And against Biani in week 9, if they get their season up and rolling. I talked with Coach Masters last week, and he's hopeful that they can get going. They've been practicing now, that they can get going back in their season. So there's still a chance that we might get that Biani game in week 9 at home. We're not 100% sure, but it's not completely ruled out.
As we mentioned, it was the first conference game last night, and next week at Ray Hinchcliffe Stadium, you will take on Columbia Battle. I know it's early. It's only week 3. It's only going to be the second. A lot of people looking at this game as a big conference game.
You know, from what we've been able to see on film, you know, and I'm not taking anything away from any of the conference opponents, but Battle might have the most talent in the conference. They are such a talented football team. You know, big and strong and fast. It will certainly be our toughest challenge to date. You know, there's a lot of tough teams coming down the stretch, but Battle is an awfully talented football team.
Yeah, you take a look at two players in particular as far as their offense is concerned, and special teams, he's a great threat as well. And the first one I'm going to talk about is Jerry Martin. He's had a couple of kickoff returns. He did two for them in week 1 against Fort Zumwalt North. I think he had another one again last night, or he had a long run of over 90 yards in the ball game last night against Capital City. So he's one to look at. And the other one is Ricky Dunn, their running back.
Yeah, and you can't forget their quarterback either. He is an unbelievable athlete. So they have speed all over the field. We're going to have our hands full. We're going to have a great week of practice and good game planning and make sure we try to bottle up that speed. And special teams-wise, don't kick it to their dangerous returners. Make them go the full length of the football field to score. But we're going to enjoy this win, and you know, we were meeting with the boys at 10 o'clock this morning, and we'll go over the film from last night, and then the coaches will start preparing for Battle and put together a good game plan and certainly be ready to go on Friday night.
Coach, Battle is a young football program. Have you ever played them on the football field?
Yeah, we did. Okay. We played them in their first year, if you remember, back in 2014.
Right.
We played them, beat them. I think we beat them by 21 points, or maybe 26 points. That was the year they went on to win the Class 5 championship.
Mm-hmm.
Remember that was the year they beat Nixa in the Class 5 championship, and we had beaten both Nixa and Battle in the regular season. We just couldn't get past Webb City, or Kearney in Class 4. But no, we have played Battle. We played them in a 2-year thing. I think 2014, 2015. We haven't played them since 2015.
Coach, look forward to the game on Friday night. Thanks for the visit this morning, and congratulations on the win.
Thank you, Kevin.
All right, Helias Crusaders head football coach Chris Hinchcliffe. Again, it will be at Ray Hinchcliffe Stadium on Friday night. We'll have the broadcast for you right here on KWOS. It all starts with our pregame show at 6:30 with Coach Chris Hinchcliffe. The play-by-play at 7. Columbia Battle comes in with a mark of 2-0, as does the Helias Crusaders. Back with more after the break. It's the Coaches Show on KWOS.
Mid-Mo 2020. The villainous Hail Boy is tripling his efforts to ruin roofs with horrendous hail while repair crews are in short supply, so the citizens have to wait months to get their roof back. This looks like a job for the Gray Panther!
This is Greg A. Hodges, a.k.a. the Gray Panther. If your roof suffered severe damage during the last hailstorm, send a signal to HodgesMo.com. We'll get it done quickly so you don't have to wait to be safe and dry.
Keeping friends and family safe on the higher quality roof system since 1976.
They're saying this summer is shaping up to be another scorcher. That kind of heat can wreak havoc on a vehicle's engine when it isn't tuned and routine maintenance is not followed. It can also wreak havoc on you if you're sitting in it about the time you discover your AC isn't working. Whether because of a refrigerant leak or an electrical problem, Frosty's can find it and fix it. Bring your vehicle to the clinic for a checkup while the weather is still fair. The doctor is in. Find Frosty's on Facebook.
Hi, this is Carrie with Zimmer Communications. When you're talking about sales, there's two different roles that companies offer. One is new development. On the flip side, there's going to be account retention or account management sellers. At Zimmer, the beautiful thing that we're able to do both. That's a big thing that our clients really value. They know who their point person is, and they never have to question who it is they're working with.
If you think you're up for the challenge, apply now at ZimmerCommunications.com.
This is John
and Wade,
your tractor guys at Rosebud Tractor. So you recently acquired some land, and now you're confused about the tractor you need.
Do you get a subcompact, compact, or utility? And how much horsepower do you need? We can help with these questions.
At Rosebud Tractor, we carry Coyote tractors, and Coyote has a tractor for every kind of landowner.
And every budget. Come see your tractor.
And Coyote.
Guys in Lynn and Rosebud, Missouri, to find the best Coyote for you.
Or go online at rosebudtractor.com.
This is a list of things that suck. Fat-free cream cheese. Having to use the bathroom while stuck in traffic. When the bottom of your hard-shell taco collapses. And having to answer 36 questions before pumping your gas.
Debit card, yes. Do I know my PIN? Would you like a car wash? It's 10 degrees out. Do I like my mother-in-law?
I just want to pump my gas!
But inching their way slowly to the tippy top of the suck list are ticks. Disease-carrying, hard-to-find, blood-guzzling, nasty ticks. You know what doesn't suck? Having a friend in the pest control business. Steve, from Steve's Pest Control. And although he can't protect your bagel from the evils of fat-free cream cheese, he will make sure those creepy, crawly, teensy-tiny ticks are removed. Sorry, ticks. Sucks to suck.
I'm Steve with Steve's Pest Control. We're going to solve your pest problem.
Now you got a friend in the pest control business, Steve's Pest Control.
The KWOS Coaches Show.
Welcome back to the Coaches Show. We are joined now by Jefferson City Jays head football coach Scott Bailey. Last night at Atkins Stadium, the Hannibal Pirates over the Jefferson City Jays by 11, 32-21, the final score. Good morning, Coach.
Good morning. How are you doing today?
Good. How are you?
Saturday morning after a loss. How do you think?
Talk about the game. Before we break it down as far as the scores and those types of things, your general thoughts as far as the game was concerned last night?
Well, the kids played with great effort from start to finish. I felt like our tackling was better than in week one. Our blocking was better than in week one. We got a run game a little bit. You're ahead at halftime. Just one of those days we came out in the second half and we couldn't put the ball in the end zone, had some opportunities and didn't get it done, and they did. When you're a coach that's kind of responsible for that offense and you're ahead at halftime, you think that you're going to go out and be able to do some things in the second half and keep that lead, and it just didn't happen.
You got turnovers in the first half. They fumbled the football four times and you made them pay for it twice with two touchdowns.
Now, we were winning that turnover margin right up until we got down ready to score again, and thought we had a really good slant route called to Devin, and honestly, that one's on me. And I told Seth was upset that he threw the interception, so if he rotated down and undercut the slant, it was me overthinking it. Putting a motion in place that probably shouldn't have been done. And all of a sudden, that safety's rotating right into that slant window where Devin's headed. Instead of possibly scoring and increasing our lead, we end up throwing that first interception. And when you're dealing with a young quarterback and things are going really well, and we're running the ball with Seth, and he's having some success, and he's completing some passes. And those young quarterbacks can get good really quick. But the opposite of that is also true. But if something goes bad, step in, it's his second varsity start there. And so he doesn't have a whole lot of experience.
Mm-hmm.
And so it can go the other way, too. And so you kind of have to talk to him on the sideline. That slant, that whole thing, probably would have been a big play for us and a huge momentum builder, but head coach calling the plays overthought a little bit and their defense adjusted to it and not put that safety right in the interception.
you know, at that point in time, I think you're talking about the drive that started from the Hannibal Pirate 31-yard line after a fumble recovery. You were up by a score of 14-13 at that point, and Drake Dudley with the pick. But you came right back the next time you touched the football, and you go 53 yards, and it's a five-play drive at a 42-yard touchdown pass from Seth Brooks to Marshawn Dye. And with about 3 minutes and 40 seconds left to go in the first half, you're up by 8-21-13. So even though you suffered the interception, on the very next drive, your team goes down and gets points on the board.
Yeah, we had that. We felt like we had that go route to Marshawn, provided we could run the ball enough to slow their front down. And you saw their front. Those guys are pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
And so if we can run the ball and slow their front down, we felt like we could have enough time to get that pass off. And Marshawn runs a good route, good separation. Seth puts it on him to get a quick score. You know, everybody can look at this and say, you know, ifs and buts and all that. And if we don't put, you know, if we throw that slant to Devin on that drive before that and hit Marshawn on that good play, we got a huge momentum boost going in that.
Yep. David Bethune had a one-yard touchdown run for you to tie the ball game at 7. And then when you go up for the first time in the ball game at 14-13, it's a 42-yard touchdown run by David. He gets into the secondary, and he just scoots for the score. I mean, he was gone, and it was great blocking in the middle of the field that he got open and then got into the secondary and basically left people behind him.
Now, if we can get David to level 3, I mean, that's what we keep talking to our guys about. It's find a way to get David to level 3. You know, get the line block, get up on the linebackers, get him to level 3, good things will happen for us. But probably the part that went unnoticed in David's game yesterday was his blocking for Seth. Mm-hmm. David's not a big guy. David's not a fullback. David's not an H-back. But we felt like we could get some quarterback run game going yesterday. And David was doing a lot of lead blocking for Seth, and he's doing a really good job. So, you know, everybody notices the touchdown runs. Sometimes you don't notice the little things that he's doing with our offense that maybe physically he's not best suited for, but he's going to find a way to get it done.
Coach, thanks for the visit this morning. Good luck on Friday night in Columbia when you take on the Rockbridge Bruins.
All right, thank you.
Jefferson City Jays head football coach Scott Bailey. Again, they'll travel for their first conference game of the season as they will take on Columbia Rockbridge. Rockbridge comes in with a mark of 2-0 on the season, opened up in week one with a 2-point victory over Staley, 26-24. And then last night, shut out Sedalia Smith Cotton. The final there was 42-0. Back with more after the break. It's the Coaches Show on KWOS.
The Mike Ferguson Show.
Should you be wearing a mask or should you not? That's a personal decision. But the separate question is, should government mandate and micromanage your face? No, I don't think it should. It can be a good idea to wear a mask for you or for somebody else and still have a bad idea for government to have that level of regulation on you.
The Mike Ferguson Show. Afternoons 4 to 6 on KWOS.
Did you hear the one about the two catfish that got into a fight? They both ended up pretty battered. Get to your Jefferson City Hy-Vee for their September Celebration Seafood Sale through Saturday. Red Easy Peel Raw Shrimp, $8.99 a pound. North Atlantic Lobster Tail, just $5.99. Wild Alaska Salmon Burger, 2 for $6. Wild USA Gulf Shrimp for $7.99. And Hy-Vee Chunk Light Tuna for 48 cents. Through Saturday at your Jefferson City Hy-Vee. Find more deals and digital coupons on the Hy-Vee mobile app or at Hy-Vee.com/deals.
My name is Lonnie Peterson. I buy cattle and up and down the road all the time with a Ford truck. And I make the drive from Fulton, Missouri, down to St. James to do business down at Hutchison Ford. Working with Mike Tucker with Hutchison Ford has been wonderful. I don't have to explain to him what I really need or what I want. He already knows because he's a rancher. He's got cattle himself. He knows what a truck needs to do. He likes to sit down and spend the time with you to get the truck that you really need and you want.
Hutchison Ford. It's not what we do. It's how we do it.
Through flooding and a tornado that struck the heart of Missouri, to a virus that continues to impact our lives, ABC 17 News and Storm Track Weather are here for you. Morning to night, 7 days a week, we're tracking and alerting, committed to keeping you informed. with complete coverage of stories impacting our community right now and live updates on recovery and progress. When it affects mid-Missouri, we're here for you. ABC 17 News and Storm Track Weather.
The end of summer means we'll soon be heading to hibernate in our homes, where according to the EPA, the air is five times worse than the air outdoors.
Uncomfortable.
At AirServ, we believe the air in which you live and breathe should be comfortable and clean. We want you to have the safest and cleanest indoor air this fall and winter, so when you purchase two or more IAQ products, you'll get discounts on all the products you purchase, plus we have financing available for you to take advantage of.
Comfortable.
Go to AirServ.com today and schedule your appointment. AirServ,
we'll put you in your comfort zone.
Bundle and save.
The Pantheon. Built with a special mix of Roman concrete, it stood tall for 2,000 years. The Pantheon, a perfect representation of what Winter Dent Insurance has provided businesses since 1912. Rock-solid support and a foundation that won't crack under the pressure of dealing with risk management. Winter Dent hasn't been around quite 2,000 years, but if you want your business to prosper as long as the Pantheon, you'll want Winter Dent Insurance. Winter-Dent.com.
Life can be dramatic. But day-to-day relationships aren't always like you see on TV. You can help the young people in your life work through the drama by engaging them in conversations about healthy relationships. Use Connect With Me activity cards to start discussions on this subject and other topics that matter to teens. Visit health.mo.gov/connect to access these free cards and resources.
A message from the Missouri Department of Health and Senior Services.
The KWOS Coaches Show.
Welcome back to the Coaches Show. As we mentioned, Jefferson City will make their trip to Columbia on Friday night, week three of the high school football season, and open up Central Missouri Activities Conference play against the Bruins from Columbia Rockbridge. The Bruins, as I mentioned, 2-0 on the season, coming off a 42-0 victory last night over Sedalia Smith-Cotton. At four rushing touchdowns in the first half, quarterback Nathan Dent opened up the scoring on a 38-yard touchdown run. And then Bryce Jackson had two rushing touchdowns for them at the running back spot. And then fullback Jonathan Garr in the end zone from 5 yards out. Columbia Rockbridge leading 28-0 at the half. Then quarterback Dent had two touchdown passes in the second half with the victory. Columbia Rockbridge now 2-0 on the season. Another thing to consider with regards to Columbia Rockbridge is even though they were 3-7 a year ago, a lot of players back from last year's team. And in five of those seven losses, they were by 7 points or less. The Jays in Columbia on Friday night, opening up conference action as they'll take on Columbia Rockbridge. All right, joining us now is Capital City Cavaliers head football coach Shannon Jolly. Last night they made a trip to Columbia to take on Columbia Battle in a ball game won by the Spartans 52-15. And coach, that's a pretty good battle ball club you played last night, isn't it?
Yeah, I tell you what, super talented. You know, a lot of speed, athleticism, and you know we kind of knew what to expect when we got there, and those kids were in full force. They did a good job, but not sure.
They got on the board first, but then you put together a real long drive, didn't you, after they got on the board?
Yeah, it was, you know, it was tough last night. We had a couple opportunities where we got down, I think almost to the one-yard line, and ended up with a turnover. We had some mental errors, but, yeah, we had some really positive things. We drove back last night thinking about that, especially in the first and second quarter. We had a lot of positive things happen for our football team.
You know, we talk about that drive, and you're moving the ball, and you get it down deep in their territory, and unfortunately you come away with no points. And then on the very next play on offense for them, Jerry Martin goes long distance for the score, I think a 98-yarder.
Yeah, we talked about it as our coaching staff. As we continue to develop and grow, you know, with the maturity level that we have in our program right now, the thing that's costing us is we don't have a lot of margin for error, especially you know, when we get into games and then having as talented as players as battle. So the margin of error was really tough last night, and our kids got a valuable experience about, you know, attention to detail and doing some of the small things correct.
You know, Martin, I think, also had another long run in the first half of over 50 yards in the ball game, and they get a couple of turnovers and 32-0 at the half, isn't it?
Yeah, and like I said, it's, you know, I don't want to get into the score. It doesn't indicate how the game went. But on our side, we came home with a lot of good things. There were some drives in there that we didn't have in week one and some things that we really took some positive things from. We probably had six mental errors, which sounds like a lot, and it is, in that first half. Excuse me, in the game total, about six mental errors, you know, that might have cost us, you know, two scoring opportunities and definitely some situations where we might have stopped a big play, if you will, from battle. But again, like I said, our kids we're taking a lot of getting ready to watch film and do some things. So the only way we can figure stuff out this year right now is to play. And so that's what we're looking at.
You know, we talked to you last Saturday on the Coach's Show. You opened up against Warrensburg, and they scored two quick touchdowns 31 seconds into the ball game, and they were up by a score of 14-0. But we felt like as the game progressed, your team kept getting better and better. And I think it sounds like from the game last night against a very good battle team, you took another step forward.
Kevin, we played well. I mean, we played well at times when we did, and then it was feast or famine. Like I said, the mental errors, there's about six of them that stand out that we've identified that were just disasters. And but like I said, it's tough to simulate that in practice. So each time we get on the game field, it's an opportunity for us to get a real look of how it looks on Friday night. Like I said, we were fortunate to get some really good film last night on those mistakes and on the things we did well. So, you know, I think you'll see each week, I think you'll see this Cavalier football team get better and continue to press forward. I'm pretty proud of them.
All right, midway through the third quarter, Cavaliers get on the board. I believe Ian Nelson with a four-yard touchdown run. Tell me about the drive and the score.
Well, we had opportunities for some running lanes last night. Made some poor decisions from our running back position as far as where we were headed and things. But Ian Nelson had a whale of a game. I mean, you're talking about an athletic and a physical battle defense. You know, he had over 100 yards, and I think that goes to say for our young offensive line, too, you know, what those guys are capable of. But, you know, we've got really three or four capable backs that I think each week are gonna complement our run game and allow us to sub in some guys and keep some fresh legs back there. But, yeah, like I said, he had a really nice game on offense.
You know, Helias has them at home on Friday night in week three, and we talked with Chris Hinches in the first half hour about two players in particular, and they've got a very good quarterback as well at battle, but in particular the running back Ricky Dunn and Jerry Martin had two kickoff returns for touchdowns against Fort Zumwalt North in week one, and he had two long touchdown runs again last night. And I think both of them, Dunn and Martin, had three touchdowns each in the ballgame. And you talk about a couple of special athletes. That's exactly what Battle has in Martin and Dunn, don't they?
Yeah, that's a different deal. Those two kids, and the thing that impressed me was they seemed, Battle came out and competed really hard and showed a lot of humility and did some really good things. But those two dudes you're talking about will be playing on Saturday, or at least have the opportunity to play on Saturday somewhere. And that was kind of the cool part for us. And you can look at it two ways, about talking to our kids. This is the opportunity. You're going to play against players like this on a weekly basis. And those two dudes proved their worth last night. Even in the kicking game, we didn't kick to them by any chance. But then they got theirs on the other end. So, you know, I think going into a game, you know those two guys are going to get theirs. Just trying to corral things.
You know, I don't know a lot about Ricky Dem, but I know Jerry Martin has great acceleration, doesn't he?
Yeah, no, those guys, like I said, we had a couple opportunities where I think we were dead on in the right spot and couldn't make the tackle. And I don't want to take anything away from our kids, but, you know, we're still a year away from being that athletic and that conditioned and prepared through the weight room and all those things. So, you know, it's exciting looking forward, but it's tough to swallow right now. But like I said, in some situations, we're going to be a little bit outmanned this year, and that comes back to the whole team concept of getting everybody to the football.
One number I want to talk about with you is the fact that you ran the football last night. We're going to talk about a Columbia Battle football team that has 22 seniors on this year's team that was 7-4 a year ago, and you put over 250 yards on the ground, and Ian Nelson had over 100 yards in the game for you.
Yeah, and like I said, I'm pretty disappointed. There should be over 300 yards. It should be over 300 yards for us. Should have been last night. Again, we shot ourselves in the foot and didn't see some of the lanes. But as you grow, Kevin, everything's new. I mean, like I said, you know, we talked about last year. This year's now on Friday nights. It's not Monday nights anymore. And there's going to be opportunities for us. But until our kids experience them, it's going to be tough for them really to understand where those running lanes are and those types of things and what our offensive line's doing up front. But, yeah, I mean, you know, like I said, we're committed to running the football and had a couple nice passes and some things last night to complement what we're doing, and that will continue to balance itself out.
All right, you're back at home in conference play on Friday night against Columbia Hickman. Hickman last night losing to Helias, and the Cupies like Battle with over 20 seniors on their football team. This is a team that has speed, and this ought to be a very good football game.
Well, we hope so, and like I said, we're just focused on getting back in and in the film room this morning and getting out on the practice field. But by no means can the scores that Hickman has suffered to be indicative of how they play. I think it's going to be a good football team, and I think that game next Friday night is going to be a good one for sure. But we're going to have to play our best to be competitive.
Coach Alves has this football program improving every year since he's been head football coach in Columbia at Hickman.
Yeah, and Coach is doing a good job of setting a good culture. I've got a couple friends of mine that are on the staff up there, and like I said, it's tough in Columbia right now with all the restrictions and things. And you know, my hat goes off to those coaches that are coaching football and having those kids study, you know, getting ready to study virtually and all that stuff, because the amount of obstacles that come with that are enormous. So, you know, they'll be ready to play Friday night when they come up here, that's for sure.
Coach, thanks for the visit this morning. Good luck on Friday night against Columbia Hickman.
Thanks for having us.
All right, Capital City Cavaliers head football coach Shannon Jolly. We're back with more after the break. It's the Coach's Show on KWOS.
We make it shine like new. Extreme Body and Paint.
I'm Gary Vanderfelt. At Extreme Body and Paint, we know accidents come in all shapes and sizes. For some of you, it may have been a fender bender in a parking lot, or perhaps a hailstorm and you're still waiting to have your car repaired. Or it may have been the guy in front of you who slammed on his brakes and you couldn't stop on time. That's why we always plan for the unexpected, so we'll be ready anytime you need us. Or we can come to you with a free on-site estimate. From expert frame repair to precise paint matching. Same goes for commercial work, whether you own a car or truck or 10 or 20, because getting you back on the road in the shortest possible time is what we're all about. We also offer the largest powder coating facility in the area and spray in bed liners. Ask your insurance agent about our work. They know. We're Extreme Body and Paint, just outside Jefferson City on Highway 50. Find us on Facebook, and don't forget, we're also open Saturdays from 8 to noon.
Don't think riding the bus is cool?
Hey, aren't you going a bit fast?
You want to get there, don't you?
Well, yeah, but I want to get there alive.
Come on, get out of the way, you putz.
These slams on his brakes, you're going to slam right into his tail. Whoa! Watch out for that little old lady.
She'll move.
That will never happen on the bus, because Jefferson City Transit is safe. What's not cool about that? Jeff Tran, connecting our community. JeffTran.org.
The old days were simpler, but convenience was still being invented and variety was still in its infancy. Nowadays, I can go right over to Speedy B's and order a mushroom and Swiss burger. It'll be ready after I'm done pumping gas. Or pizza made to order with any toppings I want at no extra charge. A sausage, egg, and cheese Nordic waffle for breakfast. Heck, I can even get gooey butter cake ice cream. I do miss simpler times, but if I went back, I'd miss Speedy B's. Fresh burgers, cold beer, clean bathrooms.
Hear ye, ConstitutionOnTrial.com presents the most important question for our generation. Is the United States Constitution biblical? Witness the prosecution and defense of the United States Constitution on trial, live and unscripted at the Maranatha Retreat Center in Everton, Missouri, and streamed live on YouTube. For the prosecution, Ted Weiland, pastor, Bible teacher, and author of Bible Law versus the United States Constitution, The Christian Perspective. Versus for the defense, Brent Allen Winters, a practicing lawyer and author of Excellence of Common Law in Light of History, Nature, and Scripture. Is the United States Constitution biblical? Live and unscripted at the Maranatha Retreat Center in Everton, Missouri, and live streamed on YouTube. Saturday, September 19th from 6:30 till 9:30 p.m. Come one, come all. This most important event is free to attend and streamed live on YouTube. Go to ConstitutionOnTrial.com.
The KWOS Coaches Show.
Scores from last night. Helias beat Columbia Hickman 68-18. Battle over Capital City 52-12. It was Rockbridge beating Sedalia Smith Cotton 42-0. And Hannibal over Jefferson City 32-21. In the Tri-County Conference last night, Southern Boone over Mexico 28-20. Osage lost to Moberly 49-18. California moved to 2-0 on the season. They shut out Fulton 49-0. Hallsville lost by 6 to Centralia, 34-28 the final there. Versailles was beaten by Warsaw, 42-14. Eldon shut out by Owensville, 47-0 the final there. Boonville, 74, Holden, 2. And the Blair Oaks Falcons beat Knobnoster last night by a score of 49-0. And joining us is Falcons head football coach Ted LaPage. Congratulations, coach.
Thank you, sir.
Couple of players that did not play in week one due to injury were there last night. They made their presence felt, and we're talking about Reed Dudenhafer and Ian Nolf.
Yeah, they're a big part of our team last year. Both, circumstances
kept them out of first game. We're going to see them two both accelerate more and more. Big body guys, both over 200 pounds, both over 6'2". Just guys you want on the field, very physical, very fast guys. So them back, and they did make their presence known, and I think they'll continue to do that as we progress through the season.
And I think you also got Riley Niekamp back. I think he didn't play a little bit in the second half of the ball game last week, right?
Well, he played a couple snaps, and you know, he dinged his shoulder a little bit last week, a little bit of a shoulder stinger. So this week at halftime, we did pull him. Well, last week we were going to do it. We didn't feel good about pulling him right away. And this week we just said after we were up 42.5, we pulled him in the second half. Just precautionary. Riley's coming back from knee surgery, and you know, just a lot of things. You just want to try to help protect your players from themselves because they want to play. You know, like Reed. Yeah, and they want to play more. They want to do more. Both of them have, you know, do it well. What you want to do with Riley, though, is he's such a force. We want to make sure that we protect him. If he's got anything that's not feeling right, let's get him out whenever he can and get him rested up so we can keep him for the whole season.
First home game of the year for you last night. It was also senior night, I believe.
It was, and that's always special. I always try to get off the field and let the parents and the players. It's about parents and players. You think everything you want as a coach. It comes down to if you got good players and you got good parents, you know what, they're going to take care of it, and they did a great job out here with that. I think it was extremely – we had a extremely large senior group, not only football-wise, but band, dance, cheer, golf, and cross-country are all given the opportunity to walk out on senior night last night, and there was, I think they said, over 40 seniors that participate in those activities. That's a lot for when you're talking to school our size. And then the community involvement, just our crowd was outstanding, and everybody really, really buys into being part of the community and being part of the exalting our kids and bringing them up. So that's very exciting when you're part of something like that.
As we mentioned, you shut out the Panthers by a score of 49-0, so the defense gets the shutout. They get 5 turnovers in the ball game. Let's talk a moment about your defense and how well they did last night.
Well, last night we had a situation where we started a little bit different front. We had Austin Laney came in and started for us at the nose guard position, moved Riley Niekamp out to the end, and Carson Box played in. They did an extremely good job. And then Nico Canale, who had a little injury earlier in the week, came back, and we had played on senior night at the end of the game, but in the second quarter, and really did a good job. They controlled line scrimmage. Cade Stockman and Levi Haney just continued to do a great job at the linebacker position. Gavin Weckenberg is playing at the outside linebacker, is growing every day into that position. Really did a good job last night recovering a fumble. Ian Nolf coming in and playing the way he is. He's just a physical presence to the other outside linebacker. It was a very good job by our front, and then you bring in Carson Box from the safety position, and also Alec Weberg from the other safety position. They were able to fill the holes. The quarterback was extremely mobile, unbelievable talented. We got to see that firsthand. Our kids at halftime go, man, he's as good as advertised. To keep him out of the end zone and keep their whole offense out of the end zone. Very physical football team. I'm very pleased, very excited about that. Jay Closser and Toby Marble just continue to improve at the corners position. So all 11 guys played, but I really got to send a big thank you out to our number twos. Our number twos went in. It looked like they were going to give up a big long drive, forced a turnover. Then all of a sudden got really contagious on their energy. And our twos stepped up, and they kept their ones in until really late. We pulled our ones with 9 minutes to go in the third quarter. So our twos played pretty much second half, and they continued to keep them out of the end zone. And that's a big step because that's something you want to see in the growth of your program when you can go from ones to twos and not have a letdown.
Your defense gets after it, doesn't it?
It's fun to watch. They are an exciting group to watch. They all want to get to the ball. They all want to attack the ball. And I made a comment to Greg Jackson, the News Tribune, last night. Last year, at week 6, we had 6 forced turnovers as a defense. Through 2 games right now, we have 8 forced turnovers. So when you can do that as a defense, you're forcing 4 turnovers a game, you're changing the whole field in high school football. Because you only get probably, on an average, a 10-possession game. If you can take 4 possessions of that away from the other team, your average is going to go way up on winning the football game. I'm really excited about the way we are forcing turnovers.
You know, I like to talk about the giveaway takeaway. I think that's a key statistic.
We're plus seven right now in the year. We had one turnover against Maryville. It was late in the game, but we still don't want to do that. Anytime we put the ball on the ground, we feel like we're not going to get it back, so we can't do it. We work on ball security, and we work on touching football. Again, going back to the statistic of 10 possessions in a high school football game, when six of them end in turnover, five of them end in turnover, you don't have a very good chance of winning. So we want to keep creating that balance for our side.
All right, you lead 42-0 at the half. You score on six offensive possessions in the first half, and I think Dylan Hare throws two touchdown passes and runs two others in for scores, and I think those were pretty long runs. I think one over 60 and one over 30.
He did a really good job, but you have to go right up front. It's unbelievable the way our offensive line has really gelled so early in the season. We're doing a great job of trapping. That's something we haven't been able to do since I've been at Blair Oaks is trap. And it's really going. Our two guards, Griffin Hurst and Bryson Jeffries, pull and trap so well. But Cale Wilson and Caden Helstra, two tackles, have to set that up. They do a good job of that. And then Wyatt Bonnet snapping the ball. There was the one play that Dylan had a really nice long run on was just a straight up the middle gut play. I call it gut play because you go right at the gut of the defensive trap right up the middle. They gave it to us out of an empty set, and Dylan just went straight up the middle, and it was so blocked so beautifully. And then when Dylan gets space, if there's a space in between him and the defender, which when he got to the defensive backs were, they're not going to touch him. And it was really good execution up front, but then Dylan just being Dylan once he got his hands on the football and got down the field.
We talked about him last week. Jaden Purdy had a good week for you, week one against Maryville. He went over 100 yards last night. He had a couple of touchdowns as well, didn't he?
Yeah, he only touched the ball, I think, seven or eight times. His production is going to get nothing but better. And what he does for us is we talk about level one being the D-line position, level two being linebacker, level three being the safety. He gets through level one. Level two, you've got to have angles to make tackles. And his speed when he gets to level two, I've said this earlier this year, he's a two-step guy. Two steps, he's full speed. He hits that second level, he's at full speed. It's very, very scary for some of the opponents. They got angles on him, and they can't catch him. He changes the way people are going to play defense on us. And I'm not telling people to change defense, but everybody plays six outside the box because they're so worried about our passing game. And they leave five inside where our five little linemen are doing such a great job. And Jaden, with that speed, you're going to have to start putting more guys in the box because he averaged 17.5 yards per carry last night.
Wow.
That's a pretty good average running the football. If you're doing that, you're going to win a lot of football games. And that is going to give Coach Briggs, Coach Cook, Coach Lindenbrink on our offensive side a lot of opportunity to do some other things because if you can't stop a straight-ahead run, you got a problem on the defensive side.
All right, week three, you will open up Tri-County Conference play, going to California to take on the California Pintos. The Pintos 1-9 last year, but they are 2-0 this year, opened up in Clinton with a 40-point victory over Clinton, 61-21 in week one. Last night, they shut out Fulton on the road by a score of 49-0. This will be an interesting football game.
It's not going to be interesting. It's going to be a great football game. Can't wait. In fact, I couldn't sleep this morning. I've been in the office. I watched them early this morning. I didn't really watch them from this year. I watched last year. We played them a week nine, and they got after us. It was 20-0 at half. They were a 1-8 football team at that point, but they came in here with an edge. They've got almost their entire team returning. Played very, very well. They figured their system out. Coach over there has done a fantastic job with building them back up. And they're a physical downhill football team, and we're going to have to be ready to play. But I talked to our players briefly because I remember that game from last year. I told them I was going to be in today. I'm looking down. I'm sitting in the stadium stairs right now. Our team's sitting there waiting. I cannot wait to get into them right now and talk to them about how well California played against us and how they're going to come out and get after our tails. And this is going to be a great challenge for us, and I think our players are going to really have a good week, and we're going to get after because this is going to be a real physical football game.
You mentioned him just a second ago, Coach Derek Scroggins, in his second year as head football coach at California. 19 of 22 starters back from last year. And one of the things you and I talked about last year, and I think it is the same this year, this team goes till the whistle blows, doesn't it?
Now they go sometimes maybe past that, and that's okay. I'm not objected to playing football with passion. And that's what I talked to the players about last night. California's going to play with passion. We're going to play with passion. Last night, I felt What teams are going to try to do to us is what they did last night. They're going to walk around. They're going to take the full 40-second clock. They're going to let time because they just don't want to get in a race with us. We're so fast, they don't want to get a race, so they slow it down. And I felt like in the first half last night, that's what disturbed me. We started to play slow, and that's what we can't do. And California's going to do a little bit of that. They're going to play slow. They're going to play methodical, and they're going to try to be physical, take 4 yards, take their time, line back up. We have to do is worry about us. Don't worry about them. Let's play at the level we want to play and the speed we want to play. We dictate that, nobody else.
Coach, congratulations on the win last night over Knob Noster, and good luck on Friday night when you open up Tri-County Conference play at California against the Pintos.
Thanks, Kevin.
All right, as we mentioned, California will host. It'll be their first home game of the season. Kalen Kruger is the quarterback for this Pinto football team. He also plays in the secondary on defense, as I mentioned. 19 of 22 starters back from the ball club last year for the Pintos. Their entire defense pretty much is back from last year, and their entire offensive line back as well. Week 3 of the high school football season, we will be at Ray Hinch's Stadium. Elias to take on Columbia Battle. 6:30 with our pregame show. 7 o'clock with the play-by-play. Jefferson City's at Columbia Rockbridge. Columbia Hickman is at Capital City. Blair Oaks at California. We'll see you next week on The Coaches Show.
News Radio 950 KWOS and on FM at 104.5. KWOS Jefferson City. K283CL Jefferson City.